Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our man David Ubben from The Athletic. David, what's going on, man? Thanks for taking time to join us. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you guys.
So, David, where are we right now with Jeremy Pruitt? Obviously, the investigation going on with the compliance department and just a whole lot of noise out of Knoxville the last few weeks with Jeremy Pruitt. How stable of a ground do you think he's on at this point at the head coaching position in Knoxville?
Quicksand, I guess. I don't know. Not very. I mean, you know, you never say never, everybody's sort of in a holding pattern at the moment. I think most of that is centered around the investigation, but not great.
Yeah, I mean, is there any feeling, David, on like timeline with the investigation itself? Do you have any sort of sense on that?
No, I mean, I think, you know, when the NCAA does these things, they're typically very slow. You know, they can take months, even years, but it's internal. Tennessee has all the control here. So if you want to rush it or get it over with once you find something or decide you don't want to find something or don't find something, you sort of have the control there a little bit. You know, they've been going since November, so it's been about, I guess, 6 or 7 weeks at this point. We've only known about it for a little over, 10 days, I guess. I haven't heard anybody really who believes that this investigation is much more than sort of trying to find leverage to renegotiate a buyout. That's, you know, the kinds of stuff you hear, what they're looking at with this investigation is the kinds of stuff that happens at every single SEC campus, pretty much. And there's not, you know, internal investigations at every SEC campus. You know, nobody's investigating coaches that are going 10-3 every year. And so, you know, the staff is frustrated, I'm sure. And, this being in limbo is not good for anybody. You know, the players are in a tough spot. The coaches are in a tough spot. The fans are obviously frustrated. And, you know, the timeline seems uncertain. And nobody seems to really know kind of what the next steps are. Everybody's just kind of hanging out and waiting to hear.
David Ubben from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, David, now that the season is wrapped up, we know that there's not going to be a bowl game. We'll see what ends up happening with this investigation. How did we get to this point? Because I think back to before the season began, I'm not going to say that there were just like ginormous expectations on this team, but pretty decent, 5-5, 6-4, maybe somewhere around that area. How did Tennessee football and Jeremy Pruitt get to this point this year where we're sitting here having heavy discussions about what his future could look like this offseason?
Well, that was the thing with this team. You know, it was a lot of little things. I think you point to two main things. I mean, obviously the quarterback play was not what they needed. They struggled to cover all year. And then, you know, catastrophic plays at bad times. You know, the Kentucky game, you have two pick sixes on consecutive plays. You have a pick six against Auburn. You know, you're leading at half against a pretty good Georgia team that's, you know, in a New Year's Six game, and you sort of implode in the second half and you get your butt kicked again. So all of those things add up, and they didn't play very well in the second half against Arkansas. You kind of had some busts. I mean, you know, I don't know what the deal was with coverage. I think it's very surprising when you have a head coach who specializes in defensive backs and a defensive coordinator specializes in defensive backs and you struggle to cover like Tennessee did. I think that's really tough. And then, you know, the offense has just been sort of stuck in first gear for basically 3 years now. despite the fact that you have so much experience at quarterback, you have a really good offensive line, and Tennessee just didn't really take much of a step forward this year on offense. So it's not one thing. Kind of all those things added up, and you know, and then you have an all-SEC schedule, and you know, I think there's something to the fact that, you know, Tennessee in a normal year probably is sitting at 5-7 or 6-6 here. And the heat's probably a little bit less than when you don't have to sit through a 6-game losing streak. But, you know, that's not what happened this year. And, you know, ifs and buts are candy and nuts, as they say. And, you know, Tennessee in the current reality is sitting there at 3-7 with a 6-game losing streak in the middle of all that season. And, you know, one of the worst years of Tennessee football ever. And you know, you look at his record, he's not that far overall ahead of Derek Dooley. And you know, for as much criticism as Butch Jones got, you know, there's something to be said for it. He did win 9 games in a row twice in a row. And that was probably still disappointing for folks. But 9 games is 9 games, and Jerry Pruitt hasn't hit that.
So, David, you got a couple – really interesting pieces on theathletic.com this week. You know, I'm going to get that in.
Attaboy. And
well, today, first of all, I love the going back on your predictions, and you graded your predictions. And of course, you know, I think a lot of the ones that you got wrong, well, I think a lot of people got wrong, but I tell you what, this, you do these exit interviews. We've talked about these before with Tennessee players. I think it's something, it really is, should be like a beat writer, like staple, you know, try to get a full Q&A with every player who leaves the program that you cover. I don't know, you tell me, is this Austin Pope one? How high on the list of the ones you've done is this Austin Pope interview? Because, man, he had a lot to say.
Yeah, it's pretty high. I think the guys that, you know, obviously he cares a lot about Tennessee, and he had a lot to say. And, you know, I'd encourage folks who haven't read it to read it. Because you could, just talking to him, you could feel like he's mad about the state of Tennessee football. You know, he didn't come to Tennessee to sit through, what, 3 losing seasons now. And part of it is the losing. Part of it is, you know, he was frustrated that he knew he could have helped this team. And they had some holes at tight end this year. And he's sitting there, you know, after back surgery in July, thought he might be able to come back, but couldn't. And it's painful knowing he could have helped. He could have influenced some of those games, helped the running game, and you know, and then seeing that he looks around at his teammates, and I don't think he sees the same passionate commitment that he feels, and that's frustrating for him.
Well, and this continues a theme too, and I think he says it. I think he really lays it out well, but it's again the, you know, and I know it's, a lot of players maybe kind of default to, well, it's not on the coaches, it's not on the players. But really, I felt like some pretty strong endorsement here of Pruitt. Ultimately, it doesn't matter. Like, if you don't win at this level, it doesn't matter what players say. But I will say that I've been a bit surprised at the absence of exit interviews that have anything negative to say about Jeremy Pruitt.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, players know, you know, they're not going to just, like, completely rip a guy. Then, you know, you're going to have a tough time finding a new spot because that's going to look like sort of baggage. But players can sort of say how they feel and make it clear sort of where they land. And some guys have more to say than others, and that's true for some of the coaches that we've talked to that have left as well. But... yeah, I mean, I think early on there were so many guys that were really effusive in praise for Jerry Pruitt, and I think you hear that still in the way that he treats his players and he has his players back. That's one thing that is almost universal is, you know, even guys that, you know, weren't able to get on the field or all those things, they still speak really highly of how Jerry Pruitt has his guys back. But the thing that you're seeing now as the losses have come and piled up, you know, I always ask the guys, where do they see the program in 5 years? You're starting to see that crystal ball get pretty cloudy for some of these guys as they look forward to say, you know, it's tough to know. You know, whereas early on it was, you know, they're going to be competing for SEC championships, they're going to be in the playoff, all these things, and a lot of confidence early on. And certainly some of that confidence has waned, and that's been interesting to see because we've been doing these things for – well, I guess this is, what, my third season covering the team. And we've been doing these since the end of the first year. So that evolution has been interesting, I think.
David Ubbin from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. David, last thing for you. Obviously, college football playoff beginning tomorrow, the college football playoff semifinal. Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, all back in the playoff. Number one, who's your favorite to win? And number two, do you think it's bad for college football that we keep seeing the same teams in the college football playoff almost every single season?
Yes, and I'm looking forward to Alabama-Clemson part 16. You know, those games are fun to watch, but yeah, I mean, if you sat here right now and I said, hey, I'm looking forward to next year's playoff with Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and Oklahoma, I'm going to get at least three of those four right. That's not good for the sport. It's not. I don't know how you fix it. You know, Dan Wetzel had a good column this week. Somehow he pointed to maybe cutting scholarships. I think that's personally a terrible idea, but I do think that it has to be something that the sport concerns itself with. I think expanding the playoff is one way. You know, I've been kind of against that mildly, the idea of bracket creep for a while. But as it becomes the same four teams every single year, even if you expand the playoff and your championship games are still Alabama and Clemson every year, I think I've begrudgingly become, in the last year or two, an eight guy, because it's just more teams getting a shot to play. And I think in that eight, the sport has to include a spot for the G5, at least one spot. And I think, too, the regional bias of the sport, I wouldn't say bias necessarily, but it's becoming just a southern sport. It's dominant just in the South. The people, you know, Pac-12 is being marginalized, but, you know, it felt like a much more nationwide sport when you had, you know, USC dominating, you know, in the 2000s, and, you know, the SEC was still rising, but LSU was in the mix, and, you know, you had, you know, Texas and Oklahoma really competing for national titles, and you don't really have that. It's, you know, the SEC and Clemson every single year, and that's, it's not good for the sport. I don't know what you really do. You know, I don't think you can blow up recruiting and put in a draft. I don't think that's realistic. But the competitive balance is not good for the sport, and I don't know how you fix it.
David Ubbin from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. David, really appreciate you taking time to join us. Happy New Year to you and your family.
Thank you. Happy New Year, guys.
Absolutely. When we come back, Joe, a statement made by the Predators yesterday regarding what fan attendance could look like inside Bridgestone Arena this year. We'll react to that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Make sure you're tuning into this weekend's NFL Game of the Week on ESPN 94.9, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura. This Sunday's NFL Game of the Week is a battle between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cleveland Browns. Kickoff is at noon. Some heavy playoff implications there as well in the AFC, so make sure you're tuned in for that. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning. And Joe, we saw the news come out the other day that the Predators had been approved to allow up to 15% capacity for games in Bridgestone Arena by the Metro Public Health Department. The Predators make the decision yesterday. They released a statement saying that they're not going to have fans in the stands to begin the season here starting on January 14th at Bridgestone Arena. And I'll read the statement that the Predators put out there yesterday. First and foremost, our top priority is always the health and safety of our fans. As COVID-19 cases reaches record high numbers, we want to be a supportive member of the national community, not a detriment. Over the past few months, we have continued to shape, frame, and revise our plan for reopening, and we couldn't be more thankful to the Metro Board of Health, Mayor Cooper's office, the NHL, and many others in helping us do so. We know by now that the landscape in these times can change by the day. While we don't want to articulate our plans too far ahead of time, we will make every effort to detail our arrangements with as much notice as possible. So therefore, as we drop the puck on January 14th, we have decided to begin the season without fans in attendance at Bridgestone Arena. Over time, we will work toward allowing a limited number of fans into the arena while finding new ways to engage our fan base and steadily growing the number of fans permitted in the building. Reopening our arena and getting back to playing hockey won't be the same without our loyal legion cheering us on in person, but we will continue to build toward what we have become to know and appreciate the Smashville 17,000 159 of the best fans in sports cheering the Nashville Predators to victory night after night. So, Joe, that coming out yesterday from the Predators, beginning the season with no fans, what was your reaction when you saw that news?
Well, you know, look, I was hoping that there could be some kind of a fan presence. I think even, you know, I think indoors, you know, even a little bit of a fan presence probably makes a little bit more of an impact, gives you a little bit more of an atmosphere than outdoors. Also, it's riskier indoors, and I'm not surprised, and I think it's the sensible thing to do, and hopefully it can change. But, I mean that's dependent on everyone else, you know, and on where things go with the virus. But so I wouldn't say I was terribly surprised by it. You know, obviously you'd love to have things as close to normal as possible, as quickly as possible. And hopefully a few weeks down the road, things can change.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. I wasn't surprised that this was the case either. I think if you're the Predators, given the way the virus is impacting our community right now, probably the smart way to go about it, if you're the Predators in Bridgestone Arena. And then you can look around the league as well. I mean, there will be teams that right from the jump are allowing fans to be in attendance. You can see how that goes. You can learn from it, adapt, as we've learned to do here in 2020. And who knows? You know, you get a month into this, come February, maybe you're ready to adjust at that point if you're the Predator. So I think it was the right decision. I'm interested to see, you know, kind of how the league as a whole handles this. Like you said, Joe, it is a different situation being indoors as opposed to outdoors. So this is going to be, I think, a different challenge than you see in the NFL and with some of these open-air outdoor stadiums, especially in the wintertime when it's cold. How do you kind of judge this and figure out the best way to approach it if you're NHL teams? Hopefully at some point, like you said, we've got fans in the building and we can get back somewhat to normal and with somewhat of an atmosphere as you get closer to the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know. I mean, I've seen various timelines with the vaccinations and everything, but there's nothing absolutely in stone at this point. But I mean, it'd be great to think that by the postseason, you know, the teams that are in the playoffs could really have something close to, you know, those atmospheres. The atmospheres that you would expect in the postseason. I think that's at least possible, which is one of those things where that's where, as we enter into 2021, you do see a little bit of a light. It's just that you don't know exactly how it's all going to go and what's going to happen on the way to getting there. But I would think that's at least possible, you know, that you get to the summer and we're in a much better situation. But that's also still going to be dependent on how people, you know, decide to behave and be safe and be smart.
So training camp gets underway for the Predators over the weekend, officially starting on Sunday. I think their first on-ice session is on Monday with the Predators. But I threw up a piece yesterday at the GameNashville.com, just kind of looking ahead to the season, highlighting the importance of the four guys we talked about yesterday, of Forsberg, Johansson, Arvidsson, and Duchesne, and also tossed up my projected lineup as well. And right now, Joe, going into training camp, here's where I've got it. I've got, obviously, the top line, Forsberg, Johansson, Arvidsson. The second line, Granlund, Duchesne, and Cunnan. The third line, Sissons, Halla, and Grimaldi. And then Trennan, Cousins, and Yarncroak on the fourth line. So, if you'll notice, no Eli Tolvanen in my projected lineup as a starter, and no Philip Tomasino either. I'll be honest, Joe, like, listening to David Poile talk the other day here on the show, and how he highlighted, like, the training camp problems and, you know, how quick things are going to have to move, how quickly you're going to have to get your lineup together to be able to play and utilizing the taxi squad, all these different things. Unless Tolvanen just comes in and just blows people away in training camp, I don't think he's going to start in the top six based on the moves they just made of bringing back Granlund and bringing Halla into the mix as well. I think it's going to take a really special start to training camp for Eli Tolvanen to start off in the mix. Now, maybe he gets in there at some point, I don't know. But as it starts, I don't think Tolvanen or Tomasino at this point are going to be in the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I would rank it Tolvanen more likely. But, the Granlund thing to me, that's probably the first guy I thought of was, oh, sorry, Tolvanen. You know, I mean, that's probably how it goes. Now, Poile also has made the point, you know, the taxi squad, the idea that you've got an expanded kind of group of people that you're going to have to rely on in spots, maybe, you know, I mean, I think that leaves open the possibility of some of these other young guys to make a difference. But I think your lineup sounds about right. And, you know, if Trennan is obviously one of those guys that should also be intriguing for people. I'm intrigued to watch him if he does get that opportunity, you know, to play consistently on the fourth line with Richardson. I mean, it could be a grindy kind of line, you know, and that's, I mean, look, it's not super exciting or sexy, but this idea of be harder to play against, it's definitely not like some great sales pitch. It's also something that's really important to happen. Like, it really needs to happen if this team is going to kind of offset the loss of production with intangibles that it has lacked in the last couple of years. Guys like that are going to matter.
Yeah, they're going to matter. And we've talked about, you know, how different this team could look this year. And it is interesting. Like, you bring Granlin back in and all of a sudden, you know, the top six doesn't look all that different. You still have Forsberg, Johansson, Arvidsson, Granlin, and Duchesne. So that's five pieces that for most of the season last year were a part of your top six. I mean, to me, you know, like I said yesterday, I expect Forsberg, Johansson, and Arvidsson to bounce back if they can stay healthy. I don't know that they're all going to have career years or anything like that, but I expect them to be productive and one of the better lines in the NHL once again. To me, the success or failure of this team largely is going to come down to, can you get something figured out on the second line? Like, can Granlin and Duchesne find some chemistry? Can Cunnan come in, or whoever that you want to throw on the other wing in the second line, can they come in and add some production and some energy right from the jolt? And I think the way Poile phrased it the other day of not just production, but like the effort and the way that you have to play the game on the second line has been missing for the past couple of years. To me, I'm interested to see if that changes at all with this group heading into this season.
Yeah, and look, we did the thing yesterday. Who's most important? I mean, who would you take a career year from? I mean, I'm going to Saros, and if he's better, if he has a really good year, and he knows, I mean, he is the guy now. If he has a really good year, and it's a lot more solid and reliable in front of him, you know, then it may not be as fun to watch as in recent years with you know, some of these stretches with this team, but it could be more winning and more reliability from night to night. You know, last year it just felt like, I mean, you know, Poile talked about like playing with a lead, but also playing from behind.
Yeah.
You know, both were a problem. Like, where, at what point do you feel good about how you're playing? There was just too much last year of just like, something's missing. So those intangibles and good goaltending, good defense, you know, it's possible. And if that happens, then you got a chance for a solid team.
And we've got some people on the text line talking about Luke Cunnan not being signed yet. He's going to get signed. He's a restricted free agent. I think people are freaking out about that for no reason. Cunnan's going to get signed. I realize it hasn't happened yet. He will be a part of the team. Don't worry about it. When we come back, we've got some picks to make. Thursday edition of Pigskin Pick'em. That's coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
It's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Yes, it is. It's that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road. Time for Pigskin Pick'em. Obviously today, the last day of 2020. We will not be on the air tomorrow, New Year's Day. College football playoff going on. Lots of things happening. So we do our Pigskin Pick'em today in what, honestly, boys, has become just a weekly showcase of how embarrassing I've been in this competition. Joe Rexroad, are you ready for our recap, our standings update?
I am, and I tell you what, I'm making a little bit of a gain here. A little bit of a gain. It was a bad. Also, Robbie, you rip on yourself, but you know, ever since we lauded Ryan for his wonderful picks, he's fallen on some hard times too. So
it was one bad week.
that's two in a row, right? I guess you went 3-2 the week. All right, fine.
No, well, I went 3-1-1 the week before.
Oh, no,
he's
no,
still
no.
Mad.
3-1-1.
House wins and a push. You know this. Come on now. Okay, Ryan Porth went 1-4 with a point last week. Robbie went 1-4 with a point.
Yeah, I know. Thank you.
I have found the way, and neither of you got your locks. I have found a way to win locks. Bet against the Lions. I went 2-3, got my lock with the Bucks, who could have won that game by a million. So I got 3 points. So now, as we stand, Morth, that's Munson and Porth together, 38-31, 47 points, 9-5 in their locks. Rexrow, 29-40, not good, 35 points, 6-8 on the locks. And Robbie has fallen because of the record, tiebreaker, 27-42, also with 35 points and 8-6 on his locks. So
it's embarrassing.
Robbie and I are in a battle, and hey, a few more 1-4s from Porth, and who knows?
How much time is left in this competition? I guess through the NFL playoffs?
Yeah, we'll get the NFL playoffs.
I'm just trying to figure out how much time I got left to make up here.
And we can probably have a handful of props for the Super Bowl.
Okay. Super Bowl.
So
that should be our finale.
I'm just trying to give myself every possibility to make up ground in this competition. But who am I kidding? I mean, this has been embarrassing up until this point. So without further ado, let's get rolling in this week's version of Pigskin Pick'em. Got two games in the college football playoff to pick from. Obviously, the Titans and Texans as well, and then we go our own way in the NFL after that. Porth, we'll start with you. Notre Dame and Alabama. Alabama is favored by 20 in this game against Notre Dame in the college football semifinal. Which way are you going with this one between Notre Dame and the Crimson Tide?
Man, when I saw it last night, it was 19.5.
It went up.
So it's gone up half a point. Still, give me Bama.
Ooh.
Give me Bama. Notre Dame always falls flat. Brian Kelly says they have nothing to prove in this game, so Alabama rolls them.
Joe Rexrode, Alabama and Notre Dame, Alabama minus 20 in the game.
Yeah, like I'd love to pick Notre Dame and think that we'll have something worth watching past like 20 minutes of football, but I just can't do it. I've got to give those 20 points and take Bama.
I am also going to go with Alabama in this game. I don't think Notre Dame has a prayer of stopping that Alabama offense. I do think if Ian Book plays really well, they've got a chance to hang in there for a while in this game against that Alabama defense. It is vulnerable, as we've seen. But there, I don't know if there's anybody in the country that can stop that Alabama offense and what they've been able to do. So give me Alabama minus the 20 points. Moving on to the other matchup in the college football playoff semifinal, Ohio State against Clemson. Clemson favored by 7.5 in this matchup. Joe Rexrode, we start with you and your hatred of Dabo Sweeney. Where are you going with this one?
My hatred of Dabo and my absolute love of the Buckeyes.
That's right.
O-H-I-O. I am going with the Buckeyes, and I do this with some hesitation. I'll be honest with you. I do this with some hesitation, but I am going to – I think the Buckeyes will be within a possession here, probably lose a close game. I think they will rise up and play well. Give me the Buckeyes in the 7.5.
I think it's going to be close throughout. I think people are maybe overstating Ohio State's demise a little bit against Northwestern. I get it. They look bad. Justin Fields has been banged up. That offense hasn't looked as crisp as you would like it to look. I think they'll hang around. I think at the end, Clemson pulls away late in the fourth quarter. They win the game by 10, 11 points, somewhere in that ballpark. Give me Clemson to cover the spread in this matchup. Ryan Porth.
I'm also going with Clemson for basically all the reasons that Robbie just stated. Close game through three quarters. Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne take over in the fourth.
Moving ahead to the NFL, the matchup we've been talking about all week long between the Titans and the Texans. The Titans have the opportunity to win the division for the first time since 2008. I'll start with this one. Titans favored by 7.5 in this game. We've talked about the Titans' ability to respond. We've talked about their ability to bounce back in situations where it hasn't gone their way the week before. But also, you've got the J.J. Watt factor this week. How important is the speech that he gave? I say not all that important. The Houston Texans suck. They can't stop anybody on defense. I get it. The Titans' defense is atrocious. I think Deshaun Watson's able to move the ball. They'll be able to put up some points in this game. But at the end of the day, the Titans just have absolutely more to play for in this game. They find a way to get it done at the end. They pull away at the end. Give me the Titans by 10 in this game. They cover the spread. Ryan Porth.
10.
10.
I had it at 7.5.
Well, it is.
Night.
I'm just saying that they're going to win by 10.
Oh, okay. All right.
Calm 7.5.
I was,
up to
I was
10.
About to say. I think there's going to be times in this game where the Titans are trailing, but there's a second half surge from Derrick Henry, and the Titans barely cover this.
So, like by 8?
Maybe. Maybe it's 14, but they were up by 7 and they scored a late touchdown. But I think this is going to be a little bit of a stressful afternoon on Sunday.
Wouldn't be 2020 without a stressful afternoon. Well, although 2021 at that point, yeah. So maybe we're off to a new start. Joe Rexrode, both Porth and I have taken the Titans to cover 7.5 spread in this game. Which way are you going?
I mean, I've already played my hand. I called the shot that the Titans win this game in overtime. So I'm taking the Texans. I'm taking the 7.5. I think the Titans will win in overtime. I think it's going to be a crazy back and forth, up and down offensive game. And it's going to test the Titans' clutchness, and they will come through. But there is going to be some sweating on Sunday, because I think all the other things are going to line up against the Titans, and it's going to be you win this or you sit out. And I think they will win, a close one.
So now we go in different directions. You can go college football if you want to. You can go two games in the NFL, whatever way you want to take it. Ryan Porth, we start with you. Number one, are you going college football or the NFL with this pick?
College.
All right, where are you going?
I am going to the Fiesta Bowl. I don't think Oregon has been all that impressive. Even though they beat USC in the Pac-12 title game, they were gift-wrapped the opportunity to play in that game because Washington did not or could not. So I'm going to Iowa State. They're 4-point favorites against Oregon. I think Iowa State is going to that Matt Campbell is going to have them ready for that game. They're going to be excited to play in that game against Oregon, and Iowa State covers the 4 points.
Joe Rexrode, are you going college or NFL, and which way are you going?
I'm one of each, so I'll go college here first. And Ryan, I'm going with your guys. They've been good to me, other than 1 week this year. I definitely look at bowl games in terms of incentive, and I think there's a pretty big difference between Cincinnati and Georgia here. I wish I had a half point more to take with Cincinnati, but I think the Bearcats are going to rise up and play really well. I'm aware that Georgia's quarterback situation is stronger now, and they looked awfully good last time out. But give me Cincinnati and 7 points to cover in a close loss to Georgia.
Ooh, I was going to ask, are you comfortable saying that Cincinnati can win and go to 10-0? But Georgia has just enough to get it done late in the game. I said earlier in the show on Call Your Shot Thursday, a late field goal by Georgia wins.
You know what? A called shot. The Bearcats are going to win outright.
There you go.
And prove both of y'all wrong.
There you go. Well, you could be right.
Go Bearcats.
I'm staying. Well,
you didn't have 12 called shots this week.
That is true.
You
I only had five, so adding one like more. Eight. Yeah. Really not that big a deal. I'm going to stay in the NFL with both of my picks. And I got to go where it's been working as of late for me in the NFL. I've drifted away from them the past couple of weeks. I can't do that now. The Green Bay Packers. They were so impressive against the Titans. They played really well, and they've got a lot to play for this Sunday against the Chicago Bears, the oldest rivalry in the NFL. The Bears are playing for their football or for their playoff lives. They've looked really good offensively the last few weeks with Mitch Trubisky going up against some just atrocious teams and atrocious defenses. They get a reality check this week. Aaron Rodgers solidifies the MVP. The Packers win this game. They're favored by 5.5. They win by 2 touchdowns, and they lock up the number one seed in the league, and this is my lock. Take it to the
guarantee.
Bank. So hopefully I did not just screw over the Packers in that process. Moving back to the NFL, Ryan Porth, your NFL pick. Who do you have?
Who's to say I'm not going with another college?
Well, I guess
game.
You could. Are you going to college?
No, I'm going to NFL.
Okay.
Made the bold prediction earlier in the show that the Cowboys were going to win the NFC East. They're playing well. Andy Dalton to CeeDee Lamb is becoming a little bit of a thing there. And I don't think the Giants are playing well at all. So give me the Dallas Cowboys to cover 2.5 in the Meadowlands. And that is my guarantee.
Ooh.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Wow. Locking it down with the Cowboys in this game. Joe Rexrode, are you going back to college or switching over to the NFL?
I mean, it's hilarious. We've been making fun of the NFC East all year, and we are just going all over the NFC East today. I got my lock on the Washington football team. Alex Smith is going to play. Alex Smith, not only is he an inspirational story, he's still good.
Yeah.
And this team is, look, they stumbled. I mean, but it was Dwayne Haskins, who all his crap and everything going on, just a terrible distraction. He's not a good player. He turned it over. Alex Smith comes in for the Washington football team and gets it done at the Eagles. The Eagles are getting 1.5. Give me Washington football team as my lock.
Guaranteed.
And I'm going to stick with the NFL for my final pick here in the competition this week. I get it. Dalvin Cook's not playing. The Lions have given up. They're done. They have no interest in playing the rest of this season. The Vikings are 7-point favorites in this game. They cover in this game. The Lions, they would give up a touchdown to the three of us right now. Give me the Vikings -7 in this game. Joe Rexroad, I'm stealing your formula.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, how could I not pick against the Lions this week? I totally blew it. I'm glad you did.
And if it doesn't work, I'm blaming you.
I mean, it'll work, buddy. Don't worry.
Thank you.
So, Robbie, you're sticking with the NFC North.
The NFC North the whole time.
All right.
I'm familiar with these teams. Hopefully that helps me in this competition. How are we feeling about the picks this week? I feel good every week, and it never works out, so I don't feel great this time.
I don't feel good. I feel pretty good about the picks that I have made, and I will also say that last week I rushed through the picks because I was under the gun with some out-of-the-building things last Tuesday, and I just kind of winged it and sent the picks to Elijah and said, here you go. Didn't put much thought into it.
There's a lot of excuse-making going on.
Spent a lot of time last night on these picks like I have every other week, so I feel pretty good.
Good Lord. That was like a Mullen, Dabo Sweeney combo pick right there. That was good.
I mean, if you could just get a full stadium
yeah.
Fourth, you'd never lose a pick, man.
Well, yes, exactly. To give you a little bit of a sense, I actually switched my pick with Elijah. I said, no, I want to change my mind. I'm going with the Steelers.
Yeah.
So if I did not do that, I would have gone 0-5.
Yes.
Ah. Oh. How beautiful would that have been?
It's like there's always like this, you know, when Porth has a bad week, there's this like this these circumstances out of his control that affect it. It's never just, you know, I had a bad week. You know, I was under the gun, had all these things going on outside of work. It was Christmas, it was busy. Just couldn't do it.
The dog
couldn't focus.
Ate his homework.
Yeah, just couldn't focus in this competition.
Yeah. But it's true. I told Elijah up ahead. I said, I don't feel good about these picks.
It's called being a sore loser for
you. Well,
all right. Well, this week.
I'm
now,
up by 12 in the competition.
Oh, he just comes back, drops the hammer.
Scoreboard.
Yeah, he drops the scoreboard on you.
Ugh,
no excuses this week, Porth. No excuses.
And if I go 1-4 this week, I will not make excuses next week when we do picks.
Don't want to hear anything next week out of you when it goes poorly for you this weekend. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show, give the final thoughts on the Titans and the Texans, look at the AFC playoff picture as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
From Brentwood to Donaldson.
From a fantasy perspective, he is absolute gold.
We are Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
From the Fox 17 News Code Red Weather Center.
I'm Fox 17 meteorologist Greg Bobis. Rain continues here on our New Year's Eve. Scattered light to moderate rainfall throughout the day. Most of our heavier rain comes in overnight tonight into tomorrow. 1 to 2 inches of rain possible in our forecast. Today's high, 48.
Week 17 of your favorite game, Silly Underdog Picks, is now open. Make your picks of the three college or pro football underdogs that you think will win before the college football games begin on Saturday. This week, the weekly winner will receive a Party Foul gift card. Just hit up thegamenashville.com or the ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and sign up to make your picks today. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe Rexroad, you've predicted a Titans win in overtime against the Houston Texans. So you're thinking there's going to be a little bit of life shown out of Houston this week. They're 4-11. Things haven't gone well. They've struggled all season long, particularly on defense against the run. But you're expecting just a last valiant effort by the Texans on Sunday against their division rival in the Titans.
Yeah, and understand, like, had J.J. Watt never said anything, I'd still have the same pick. So
right.
I want to make that clear. Like, this is not like J.J. Watt motivational speech reaction. This is just a bad matchup for the Titans defense. There's a lot of bad matchups for the Titans defense, but this is a real bad one, and this is a team with nothing to lose that's going to just go out there and let it rip and have an opportunity. I mean, how long has it been since the Texans really played for anything? I mean, they've been out of it for weeks.
Yeah.
And they still have been competitive in a lot of games. We've talked about this. They almost beat the Colts twice. But this is actually some incentive. Ruin the Titans season. They're going to step up and play in this game. And he's going to play, he being Deshaun Watson. And so I do. I think the Titans are going to have to take this all the way to the end. I don't think they're just going to go in there and hammer the Texans.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Heidi from Dixon text in, if Monday's show is doom and gloom because we missed the playoffs, I want Joe to cheer me up by singing a song about the almighty Clowney. I knew we'd get back to that at some point.
Joe's Clowney. I'll come up with a song. It'll be called Joe's Clowney.
That's your homework assignment. Over
I will write at least two verses for you, Heidi, if the Titans lose. I promise. That'll be my homework Sunday night.
A mighty team that will not yield. Yes. Yes, please. You know, we were talking earlier in the show about if there's anything the Titans can show you in this game that makes you feel better about their playoff chances heading in the playoffs. At Stony Rhino on Twitter says, 9 sacks, 12 interceptions, and total yards allowed being minus 80. That may be what it takes for me to be impressed with the defense as well. That's a good response there.
Interesting. Interesting. So if that were to happen, though, like then I would still throw it out. I'd be like, okay, so the Texans actually hate J.J. Watt.
You would throw it out if they had 9 sacks, 12 picks, and held the team to minus 80?
Yeah, I would say, okay, so the Texans, this is mutiny against J.J. Watt. They all decided to not play in the last game, and so flush it. Like, there's – like. Honestly, there's nothing – I mean, that's obviously not realistic and it's joking, but there's nothing realistic that can be done. Again, hold them to 10 points. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, watch out.
And they figured it out, baby.
Defense, about to put the vice grip on you.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in and says, I have handpicked about half of the games out of y'all's picks for Pigskin Pick'em and somehow have only lost 5 times. Thanks for the advice. The guys at my work think I'm cheating. Well, I can tell you this, Ben. If you've been handpicking games out of Pigskin Pick'em and you've only lost 5 times, that tells me that you have never chosen a game that I've picked.
He's just going with Morth.
Yeah. I mean, there's just more humble brag. That's not even humble brag. What would you call that, Porth, that I could say?
That was not subtle or humble.
Yeah, I was about to say. Just more coming out from Ryan Porth.
Well, I mean, I hope he didn't go with your picks last week.
Yeah, I hope not either. If he's only lost 5 times all year, I'm going to say he hasn't gone with my picks hardly at all.
This tells me that he's better at picking games than us. So stop listening to us and just move to Vegas.
Just do it yourself, Ben. You can get it figured out here for sure. I think Derrick Henry, I said it earlier on the Call Your Shot Thursday, I think he's going to have a massive game. I think he gets to 2,000. TD threw it out there. It's going to be tough. He needs 223 yards in this game. I think he's going to have a huge run in this game, 70, 80 yards, somewhere in that territory, which we've seen him do a few times, and I think that he gets there. I'm not overly confident in that, but 223, that seems like a big number. It is, but if there's a guy who can do it, I think that guy is Derrick Henry, and I think you're going to see a motivated Derrick Henry and a motivated Titans offensive line, especially early in that game, to establish the tone against the Texans.
Boy, that's an awfully big number. I mean, it would be amazing to see him do it. And, you know, it's even last week and other games too. He could right now he could be at about – he might be at like at 2,300 if they had an average defense. But you know, hey, you're talking about a guy who's at 1,777. So that's pretty good in 15 games. He's going to have a chance. But, again, you got to break those long ones, at least one long one. It's hard to count on that, but certainly – that defense gives up long runs. We've seen that before this year.
So let's go ahead and throw it out there now. Joe, if you had to choose right now, do both A.J. Brown and Corey Davis after the game on Sunday end up with 1,000-yard receiving this season?
I will say yes on that. I think that's definitely the most likely of the milestone outcomes for sure. I like that to happen for sure.
Ryan Porth, A.J. Brown. About 76 yards away from 1,000. Corey Davis, 55 yards away from 1,000. Do both of them get there on Sunday? Do they both? No.
No, I think Corey Davis has a big day, and A.J. Brown, that they will be selective in how many passes they throw his way, almost using him as a decoy more than anything.
I'm going to go the other way. I think A.J. Brown gets there. Corey Davis does not. I think he's just short. Like I'm anticipating like a 4 catch for 48 yards type of day for Corey Davis on Sunday. He makes some important plays. He moves the chains a few times, but doesn't have a huge day against this defense. So I'll say A.J. Brown gets there.
Okay.
Corey Davis falls just short in this competition.
Hey, real quick, I've come up with the first line. Okay, Heidi, this is it if they lose. A mighty pass rusher who does not sack. See, that's how we will start the song.
That's beautiful.
We'll go from there. We will play it to the tune of Gridiron Heroes, the Detroit Lions.
Honestly,
song.
I'm not sure I could think of a more appropriate way to close 2020 on this show than what you just did. I think that may sum it up perfectly.
I'm trying to, you know, put string together so we can have enough drops. I mean, you know, I mean, we could use a whole segment of my singing voice at some point.
It is beautiful.
I am not making that one a drop.
I refuse to do it.
If you go 0-5 this year, or this week, then you have to. How about that?
Well, right. I could make it a drop. That doesn't mean I have to use it.
Exactly. All right. So, Joe Rexroad, who is the AFC team that's left out of the playoffs when everything's said and done on Sunday?
I am going to go with the Cleveland Browns, baby.
Oh. I think they lose to the Steelers.
Sorry, Martell. I do. I think they're going to totally blow this, man.
Oof.
Wow, that would be
rough. So you think So in Pigskin Pick'em, you think the Steelers could or will win outright, and you didn't even pick the Steelers 9.5 or 10 points
favorite.
Yeah, I probably could have gone that way, but it's one of those things where the Browns are so they're like radioactive in situations like this. So I don't even like to think about that game in pick'em terms, if that makes sense.
Okay, I like it.
All right,
it's almost unfair, you know.
It's the ultimate Mason Rudolph revenge game.
I'm going to say the Colts are the team that are out. I think everybody wins on Sunday that needs to win, and the Colts are left out in the cold.
I'm going to say the Dolphins.
Sorry, Phil.
Once again, because they I don't have any evidence of this or stats of this, but they don't win in Buffalo in December or January.
It's too cold.
I don't think Miami has ever won in Buffalo in January, so I'm going to say the Dolphins lose.
Juggernaut that is the Buffalo Bills historically in January over the past 20 years. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Hope everybody has a wonderful new year. Darren, Donick, and Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.